Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Text 14, Yata Yuyam Trilokasya Varadau Parameshtinau Tata Ma Uttamashloka Santu Satya Mahasinaha. You are both the supreme rulers and benedictors of the three worlds. Therefore, my Lord Uttamashloka, may my ambitions be fulfilled by your grace. Ityabhishtyuta Varadham Srinivasam Shriyasaha Tan nisaryo paharilanam datvachamanam archayet. Sri Sukadev Goswami continued, thus one should worship Lord Vishnu, who is known as Srinivasa, along with Mother Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, by offering prayers according to the process mentioned above. After removing all the paraphernalia of worship, one should then offer them water to wash the hands and mouths, and then one should worship them again. Tatastu vita srotrena bhakti prahvena cetasa yagyochishtam avagraya punar abhyarchared dharim. Thereafter, with devotion and humility, one should offer prayers to the Lord and Mother Lakshmi. Then one should smell the remnants of the food offered, and then again worship the Lord and Lakshmi ji. Patim cha paraya bhaktya mahapurusha chetasa priyais thais ter upannamet prema shila svayam pati bibhriyat sarva karmani patnya ucha vachani cha. After accepting her husband as the representative of the Supreme Person, a wife should worship him with unalloyed devotion by offering him prasad. The husband, being very pleased with his wife, should engage himself in the affairs of his family. Purport. The family relationship of husband and wife should be established spiritually according to the process mentioned above. Okay, then text 18, which is on the board. Kritam ekatarenapi dam patyor ubhayor api patnyam purvad anarhiyam patir etat samahitaha. Kritam ekatarenapi dampatyorubhayorapi patnyam kuryaranarhyayam patire tat samahitaha. Kritam executed. Ekatarena,
ekatarena,
by one. Api,
api,
even. Dampatyo,
dampatyo,
of the wife and husband.
Ubhayo,
ubhayo,
of both.
Api,
api,
still.
Patnyam,
patnyam, when the wife. Kuryat,
he should execute.
Anarhayam,
is unable.
Patihi,
the husband.
Etat,
this.
Samahita,
with attention.
Translation. Between the husband and wife, one person is sufficient to execute this devotional service. Because of their good relationship, both of them will enjoy the result. Therefore, if the wife is unable to execute this process, the husband should carefully do so, and the faithful wife will share the result. Purport. The relationship between husband and wife is firmly established when the wife is faithful and the husband sincere. Then even if the wife, being weaker, is unable to execute devotional service with her husband, if she is chaste and sincere, she shares half of her husband's activities. So in here we have just worshipped Lakshmi Narayana, or are in the process of worshipping Lakshmi Narayana. So in here, then we see in this process, so this is the devotional process, how to worship the deity. That here they are offering 16 items to the deity, they're laying them to rest, they're offering bhoga, they're distributing to the Brahmins, they're performing all these different activities that are there in the daily worship of the Lord. So basically here, this ceremony is a worship of the Lord, but it becomes, so it's the daily worship, but it becomes a festival, or how you say, an occasional activity, or naimittika. Because one may choose to do this specifically as a vrata for 1 year, from this Kartik Purnima to the next, I mean the day after this Kartik Purnima to the Kartik Purnima. And then after, on the next day, one cooks a big festival, makes some sweet rice like this, and then distributes to the brahmanas after worshipping the Lord. Then, even though it's a daily, it's following the ritual of daily worship, it is then comes into a particular vrata that is being performed. So in here we see that we are worshipping the Lord, and we are understanding Lakshmiji to be non-different from the Lord. The Lord is sacrifice, and the Lakshmi, she is the, the devotional service that is performed with that sacrifice. So if we look at this, you can't actually separate the two. The ritual itself, the ceremony itself, is being performed. That being the Lord, but to perform that for in devotion for pleasing the Lord, that is Lakshmi. So we see is that you can't actually separate. Sometimes it is described by by Madhvacharya. He's explaining, because he's very strongly trying to establish the point of two. That there is the Lord, and there is everybody else. So in this, then he describes the position of Jiva to be servant. And so Lakshmi, because she's the supreme servant, she is also then counted as Jiva. Though she is eternally, she's not marginal. She's the internal potency, but she's counted as Jiva. But taking quotes from other scriptures, then our acharyas take it beyond this point, because he's simply trying to establish that he's trying to get away from the oneness that the Mayavadis are presenting. But here, the acharyas, Jiva Goswami, in his Krama Sandarbha, then he establishes that Lakshmi is non-different, because you can't separate the activity, the person being worshipped, and the worshipper. You cannot separate. Therefore, all these are there. The sacrifice itself, the mood in which it's done, and the perfect person performing the sacrifice, you cannot separate. Because you cannot understand one with the other. The Lord means nothing without his energies. The energies mean nothing without the Lord. So this is then very nicely established in this Pumsavana ritualistic ceremony, is that this is what one is trying to gain from here, and then with devotion one worships the Lord. So being pleased with this devotional worship, and then one gains benefit. So here, point being made here is that here we're discussing, because it is a activity, or it's a vrata specifically for husband and wife, then there's other aspects in here that then will mirror this whole point. Means when you have predominated, this then in any situation where you find this is applicable. So then in spiritual master and disciple, teacher and student, leader, follower, or husband and wife, then these same principles they follow. Though there'll be some adjustments according to the particular application, but the mood is not different. So understanding the mood of one, you can understand the mood of all the others. And then the externals are just the way in which the mood is
expressed.
So then here, then the wife is accepting her husband as a representative of the Supreme Lord, and then she is worshiping him very nicely, serving very nicely, and she is seeing he takes prasad and all this, then afterwards then she is taking care. And then because of this service, the husband is very happy, very pleased, and he is engaging himself very nicely in taking care of the family. He is doing his side of his duties here. Now in this, then we also understand that the wife then is representing Lakshmi. Therefore, the husband has to be taken care. Said in the Shastras that a woman who is chaste in the family, then she is like Lakshmi, and she can bring prosperity or fortune to the whole dynasty, not even just the family, just her direct family, but the whole dynasty. And if she's not properly behaved or chaste, then she can destroy the whole dynasty. So we see this, that Draupadi, because she was chaste, then she brought glory to the Pandavas' whole dynasty. And we see that Duryodhana, because he didn't deal properly with her, his whole dynasty was destroyed. So this is the position. So in here is both are respectable because of their different elements, and there's a non-difference between them, though their duties are different. So the husband is the support. The ritual is the medium through which everything is being performed, the mood. So the ritual is what is the main, what is seen. The devotion in which it is performed, that is unseen, like that. If one is expert, one can perceive, but otherwise, that is not what's seen. So then, what happens is we have to be very careful in this, is that both elements are accepted. If we accept one, the element of the predominator, then we end up with the the smartas. The smartas accept the ritual and not the devotion. To them, the ritual itself is complete. The ritual having been performed, it's the technicalities of the ritual create the result. Just like you mix something together, you get a chemical reaction, and that's it. It's, they don't consider the person who is doing it. So, like this, that is one side. And the other side, then if we take the bhakti, or the internal aspect of it, or we just see the side of Lakshmi, or the feminine aspect, the student, the follower, only that side, then one ends up with the sahajiya tendency, though one accepts the internal, but doesn't accept the form through which it's manifest. So the sahajiyas are like that. We only care for bhakti, we don't care for ritual. So these are the two main dangers in devotional life, in any activity, is going one way or the other. One has to accept the both together. Without the two, you do not have either. Both the smartas and the sahajas end up with nothing, because neither of them know the full, complete. So therefore, the middle, which is, that is the path to take. So there, whatever is the application of this principle now is being applied to husband and wife and to Lakshmi Narayan, this punsava in the ceremony. With this principle, if it's not applied, that both sides are seen in their balance, in their position, means you say they're non-different, but they are different. Means the Lord, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he is one, but he expands as many to taste the relationships, to taste the exchange between him and his devotees on the transcendental platform. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord, but he expands as Nityananda, as his form, or as the spiritual master. He expands as Advaita, as the incarnation of the devotee. He expands as Garadhar Pandit, and he expands as Srinivasacharya, as the pure devotees. So now, by this, they're all transcendental, and you cannot say that they are different. But they are different on the transcendental platform for the taste of transcendental mellows. So rasa is one topic, though it may have many manifestations. So when we bring it into the material realm and we bring it onto the emotional platform, that manifests the relationships in the material world. So therefore it manifests the position of husband and wife. So this relationship, then one has to see husband and wife are one, but there is a difference. And there's a difference in their duties, there's a difference in how they perform in the relationship. And that creates rasa. And if this is not understood or accepted, then it's very difficult to make relationships work. Because all relationships are based on this principle. So then, here we see that this is, these things are going on. Then because of this, then whether the husband or the wife perform the ceremony, then both get the benefit. If the husband is sincere and the wife is faithful and sincere, then she gets the benefit even if she doesn't perform it. The husband performs it. And if the wife performs it because she is chaste to the husband naturally shares. As we see, the nature of Lakshmi, or nature of the mother, is whatever she gets, she always shares it with whoever she has affection for, automatically. Whatever they get, immediately they share it. Like this. This is the principle. This is the element of the mother, or Lakshmi element. Then if you go into the other side, into unchaste or untrained or this kind of side, then you see more comes up, that whatever one gets, one wants to keep it oneself. So then that is then the difference between expanding or giving fortune to the whole dynasty or destroying the whole dynasty. It is in this element. So we see here is that this mood, it goes both ways, as long as both of them have the proper mentality. If the mentality is not proper, we don't find this exchange happening. It's because of the care. It's happening on this subtler platform, like that. By law, then so many things are there, but that's not the relationship. The law doesn't establish the relationship. The relationship is on the platform of the subtle body. The law deals with the gross body. What happens to the gross body? But the actual relationship is happening on the subtle body. So then here, the automatically, whatever the husband does in this ceremony or anything, whatever his service, his activities, whatever advancement he makes, the wife shares, she gets half of the benefit automatically. And the chaste wife, whatever she performs, pious activities, devotional activities, the husband, he naturally also shares in this. So this is... Right, this is all on this point. Any questions or comments? Yes.
What is the purpose of smelling the prasad?
What is the purpose of smelling? I think it's that one is not ignoring the prasad, because then, there's the gross point of not doing something, but then there's the subtle point of not doing that we have to be very careful about. Because it's like, sometimes there may be some service, we cannot do it because of another service. So then the mentality is that we would like to do that, take part in that service, but since we have another service, then we are not able. So like that is respected, and we do the other service. Well, if we think, no, I can't do this, or I don't want to do this, then it actually creates a kind of a seed of not wanting to do that particular kind of service. It's a very subtle point. So therefore, and here is that you're still doing the worship. You haven't finished the worship of the Lord, offering prayers, laying the Lord to rest, and all that. And then you haven't fed the acharya and the brahmanas and everything like that. Then afterwards, then the husband is fed, then the wife takes, and all this. So then, since it's going to be some time before one can actually honor, one doesn't want to neglect the prasad, because the mind will naturally go there. So then it is respected by smelling, and then that is all. This would be naturally after offering to Dandi Parampara on that. but before it is being given out. Because then in the ceremony we also see is like when the yajna is done. And the yajna is being done by the yajamans, by who is giving the benefits, who is getting the benefits of that particular sacrifice. But after the yajna is done, when you make the prasad with the dot, you know, with the, how you say, with the ashes and ghee, and that's put on the head, then it first must go to the acharya and the hota, or the priest who is offering the oblations. If there's no acharya, it has to go to the hota first. Then it can go to the yajamans and everyone else, because he is the one who's performing. So one is respecting the performer of the sacrifice, because they are also non-different. Therefore, like in the artik, then one is respecting the Lord, and one is respecting those who have come for seeing the artik, like that. And because they are non-different, they are the Lord. Like Srinivas and Garadhar, also as Shakti, are still the Lord. They're considered the Lord as Panchatattva. So in there, then it becomes a very subtle point. So in here, then, the respecting of that in that way, then doesn't break the proper etiquette as we, as worshippers, and that we take at the end or after distributing. But at the same time, this respects the element of the worshipper being as part of the whole process, and the mind of offering respects to the prasad and not creating any unwanted desires to not take prasad. Does that make sense? Anything else on this? Or, yeah.
You mentioned
the words smarta sahaja. Yes, smarta sahaja or niyamagraha is same. It means, see, you have a few basic principles. You have the main principle, always remember Krishna, never forget. Then you have a few basic supporting principles that are there in devotional service, your rasa and the aspects of tattva. Those permeate everything in the cosmic creation, the spiritual and the material. So now it's just a matter of its application, how you define it. So when you apply it in one way, you see it in one thing. You apply it in another way, you see it in another. You know, but in any case, you're working. Just like you want to cut something. So in the kitchen, you'll use a knife to cut the vegetables, but a carpenter will use a chisel or a saw. So you won't use a chisel and a saw to cut the sabji, or you won't use a knife to cut the wood. But the principle of cutting is the same. It'll work in the same way. You have an implement, and that's used. So these principles of your sahajya, smarta, niyamagraha, which means that you either accept the rules and forget what they're for, you're so attached to the rules and just beat everybody over the head with the rule, or you throw out the rules because either we don't understand or don't care, like that. So both of these are wrong. One has to follow the rules with devotion, that both have to be there. That is the point. It's also made the point the son of Virabhadra, the son of Nityananda, who is Virabhadra. He is Kiradakshay Vishnu, in other words, Aniruddha. So he is the Lord. But despite this, he follows the rules and regulations to set the proper example. So even though he's God, he doesn't have to follow, he follows to set proper example. Like that. So this, one will always find this. So this principle of that's why it's said spiritual life is like the razor's edge. Is that because we're always looking for the edge, this side or that side, both are wrong, like that. Therefore, if one side is doing something, the other side then drags at the other side, like the pendulum swing, like this, you never get anywhere, because you're going from one wrong into another wrong, right? And you know the common saying, two wrongs don't make a right, or three wrongs, or four wrongs, or 5 billion wrongs, none of them. You have to just come to the middle, then it's right. This side or that side is wrong. That's all. They may look like devotional service. It's devotional, sentimental, but there's no proper performance. Like that. Or it's ritualistically perfect, but no devotion. They're both wrong. You know? In the beginning, we're happy if anyone starts and does anything. But as one advances, then one becomes serious to see that one is developing to a higher state of Krishna consciousness. So one is very careful to follow very nicely and keep the right mood. Therefore, you see that the more advanced devotees actually follow more strictly like Raghunath Das, everyone's supposed to offer respects, but he could offer 2,000 respects to the Vaishnavas and all the holy places. Like that. So even though he's on a higher platform, he can do it better. Ambarish Maharaj, he can do it better. We see that all of them do better. Because they have both. They have to understand the devotion. They understand the ritual. Then they balance it perfectly. And then you don't see it as more ritual or more devotion. You just see it as a perfect blend. Like Prabhupada in his activities, he's just a perfect blend of devotional activities. Even though he's expert in everything he does, you just take him as a devotee. You don't take him as a great Sanskritist, a great cook, a great, propounder or follower of the Vaishnava etiquette, or of, you know, deity worship, or whatever he does, kirtanir. He's expert in all this. But one day he does not give a need, he's a devotee. Because a devotee is perfectly balanced. Like that. And as long as we're overbalanced in either way, then those are anarthas we have to work on. So then, these points then give us, they explain on all levels what to do. Here we can get the relationship between husband and wife. We can see our relationship with the Lord and how we have to perform devotional service. It means all the explanation of how a wife deals with the husband, these are valuable for everybody. Though, how they will be dealt with the spiritual master, with the Lord, with others, that will vary according to the externals of the situation. But the principle is the same. Therefore, understanding one, you understand all. And understanding none, not understanding one, you don't understand any of them. You can't understand one and not understand the others, because they go together. Okay. So, you have something?
In the beginning you said how Lakshmi was his service. He was saying also she's considered like the jiva, so there was a shelter within the shelter and the devotional service.
He's only counting everything as two. He's not making three. Yeah, so Madhva, he reduces everything to two. He's trying to say there's God and then there's everything else. So within the everything else, there's variety. Within God, there's variety. But he splits it very much there. So that's why his is dwait. You know, but ours is simultaneously one and different. So we bring up both. Like that. So that's the why. We accept that point, but we take it farther. Because of her position, she is not different. Like that. We say there's only one devotee in the creation, that's Radharani. Everybody else is her servant. Like that. In this way, they're devotees, because they're her assistant. Or assistants of her assistants of her assistants, like that. Then it becomes nice. But so therefore, she is non-different. And her direct expansions are non-different. And then the living entities, then they, where they connect themselves, then in this way, then they attain their non-different. He will read something on that. Bring that out. So today is also the appearance day of, appearance of Dhananjaya Pandit. So we'll read about him. Text 31, this is from Adi Lila, chapter 11. The expansions of Lord Nityananda. Nityananda Priya Vritya Pandita Dhananjaya Atyanta Virakta Sada Krishna Prema Maya. The 16th very dear servant of Nityananda Prabhu was Dhananjaya Pandit. He was very much renounced and always merged in love of Krishna. Purport. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhasya, Pandita Dhananjaya was a resident of the village in Katwa named Sitala. He is one of the 12 Gopalas. His former name, according to the Gorgano Deshpipika, 127, was Vasudham. Sitalagrama is situated near the Mangalakota police station and Kaichara post office in the district of Burdwan. On the narrow railway from Burdwan to Katwa is a railway station about 9 miles from Katwa, known as Kaichara. One has to go about a mile northeast of the station to reach Sitala. The temple was a thatched house with walls made of dirt. Some time ago, the zamindars of Bajraravana Kabashi, the Mullahs, constructed a big house for the purpose of a temple. But for the last 65 years, the temple has been broken down and abandoned. The foundation of the old temple is still visible. There is a Tulsi pillar near the temple, and every year during the month of Kartik, October, November, the disappearance day of Dhananjaya is observed on disappearance. It is said that for some time, Pandit Dhananjaya was in a Sankirtan party under the direction of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he went to Vrindavan. Before going to Vrindavan, he lived for some time in a village named Sanchada Panchada, which is 6 miles south of Memari railway station. Sometimes this village is also known as the place of Dhananjaya, Dhananjayapata. After some time, he left the responsibility for worship with a disciple and went back to Vrindavan. After returning from Vrindavan to Sitalagram, he established the deity of Gaurasundar in the temple. The descendants of Pandit Dhananjaya still live in Sitalagram and look after the temple worship. And then on Gadadhar Das. This is from Adilila chapter 10, text 53, the branches of the Chaitanya tree. Sri Gadadhara Dasa Shaka Sarvapari Kaji Ganera Muke Yeha Bolaira Hari. Sri Gadadhar Das, the 23rd branch, was understood to be the topmost, for it induced all the Muslim Qasis to chant the holy name of Lord Hari. Purport. About 8 or 10 miles from Calcutta, on the banks of the Ganges, is a village known as Endiadhaha Gram. Srila Garadhar Das was known as an inhabitant of this village, Endiadhahara Vasi Garadhara Das. The Bhakti Ratnakar, 7th Way, informs us that after the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Garadhar Das went from Navadvip to Katwa. Thereafter he came to Endiadhahagram and resided there. He is stated to be the luster of the body of Srimati Radharani, just as Srila Garadhar Pandit Goswami is an incarnation of Srimati Radharani herself. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes explained to be Radha Bhava Dyuti, Suvalita, or characterized by the emotions and bodily luster of Srimati Radharani. Garadhar Das is this duty or luster. In the Gauranga Deshdipika, 154, he is described to be an expansion of the potency of Srimati Radharani. He accounts among the associates of both Srila Gaurahari and Nityananda Prabhu. As a devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was one of the associates of Lord Krishna in conjugal love. And as a devotee of Lord Nityananda, he is considered to have been one of the friends of Krishna in pure devotional service. Even though he was an associate of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he was not among the cowherd boys, but was situated in the transcendental mellow of conjugal love. He established the temple of Sri Gaurasundar in Katwa. In 1434 Shakabda, AD 1512, when Lord Nityananda Prabhu was empowered by Lord Chaitanya to preach the Sankirtana movement in Bengal, Sri Garadhara Das was one of Lord Nityananda's chief assistants. He preached the Sankirtan movement by requesting everyone to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. This simple preaching method of Srila Garadhar Das can be followed by anyone and everyone in any position of society. One must simply be a sincere and serious servant of Nityananda Prabhu and preach the cult door to door. When Srila Garadhar Das Prabhu was preaching the cult of Hare Kirtana, there was a magistrate who was very much against the Sankirtan movement. Following the footsteps of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srila Gadadhar Das one night went to the house of the Kashi and requested him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. The Kazi replied, "All right, I shall chant Hare Krishna tomorrow." On hearing this, Srila Gadadhar Das began to dance and he said, "Why tomorrow? You have already chanted the Hare Krishna Mantra, so simply continue." The Gauragadadas Deepika, verses 154-155, it is said, Radha Vibhuti Rupa Ya Chandrakanti Pura Vraje Sa Gauranga Nikate Dasa Vamsyo Gadadhara Purnananda Vraje Yasid Baladeva Priyangani Sapti Karya Vasad Eva Pravishat Tam Gadadharam. Srila Gadadhar Das is considered to be a united form of Chandrakanti, who is the effulgence of Srimati Radharani, and Purnananda, who is the foremost of Lord Balaram's very dear girlfriends. Thus, Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu was one of the associates of both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu. Once while Srila Gadadhar Das Prabhu was returning to Bengal from Jagannath Puri with Nityananda Prabhu, he forgot himself and began talking very loudly as if he were a girl of Rajabhumi selling yogurt, and Srila Nityananda Prabhu noted this. Another time, while absorbed in the ecstasy of the gopis, he carried a jug filled with Ganges water on his head as if he were selling milk. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in the house of Raghava Pandit while going to Vrindavan, Gadadhar Das went to see him, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so glad that he put his foot on his head. When Gadadhar Das Prabhu was present in Andiyadaha, he established a Balagopal Murti for worship there. Sri Madhava Ghosh performed a drama known as Dhanakanda with the help of Sri Nityananda Prabhu and Sri Gadadhar Das. This is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antya 5.318-94. The tomb of Gadadhar Das Prabhu, which is in the village of Andiyadaha, was under the control of the Samyogi Vaishnavas and later under the direction of Siddha Bhagavan Das Babaji of Kalna. By his order, Sri Madhusudan Malak, one of the members of the aristocratic Malak family of the Narikela Danga in Calcutta, established a Patavati monastery there in the Bengal year 1256, AD 1849. He also arranged for the worship of a deity named Sri Radhakanta. His son, Balai Chanda Malik, established Gornitai deities there in the Bengali year 1312, AD 1905. Thus, on the throne of the temple are both Gauran Nityananda deities and Radha Krishna deities. Below the throne is a tablet with an inscription written in Sanskrit. In that temple, there is also a small deity of Lord Shiva as Gopeshwar. This is all described on a stone by the side of the entrance door. So the Gadadhar Das, he is the effulgence then of Srimati Radharani. And in this way then, Lord Chaitanya, he has taken the mood, the bhava of Radharani, that mood of devotion in wanting to serve Krishna, in being attracted to Krishna, in various, the tasting of service to Krishna, and in tasting the love of the pure love that Radharani has for Krishna. So this Lord Chaitanya wanted to taste. This is the bhava. And he is taking the color, because with the bhava naturally comes the color. By the, what is the mood of the devotee, that creates the form. This is explained in the Brahma Samhita. Depending upon the mood the devotee has towards Krishna, that establishes the form that the devotee has. So because Krishna has taken on the mood of Srimati Radharani, naturally then this golden color comes with it. So then this duty, that is Gadadhar Das. So then Gadadhar, in as Gadadhar Das, then he has taken both the, he is the mood of Srimati, I mean how do you say, the effulgence of Radharani as an associate of Krishna, as one of the gopis. Here is Chandrakanti, and also as one of the intimate associates of Nityananda Prabhu, as one of the girlfriends of Lord Nityananda. And in this way, then, both of these aspects, so he is very dear to Lord Chaitanya, but he spends much of the time preaching with Nityananda Prabhu. Any questions on this? No? So then we'll end here. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Garadhar Pandit ki, Dhananjaya Pandit ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jayantai Gaur, Jayantai Gaur.